You're listening to Ryan Anderson's Model Railcast Show with your hosts, Craig Bisgeier and Tim Harrison. We're bringing you the latest news, reviews, and interviews on the hobby of model railroading. The Model Railcast Show, keeping you on the right track.
All right, Model Railcasters, we've got Show 217 here, and Jim Lincoln was kind enough to come on board and give us his time. It's a little bit free-ranging here, but we were generally talking about the module layout that he's working on, and I'm also going to provide as many links as I can and as many links to photos as I can on the website, which is www.themodelrailcastshow.com, and I'll also try and throw them up on the Facebook page. And if you feel like something's missing or maybe like a little bit more photographic reference, shoot me an email at ironsideroger@yahoo.com or message me on Facebook. But again, I'm going to put up as many pictures as I can because that'll make it easier to reference what Jim is talking about. And with that, we'll go on with the show. All right, Model Railcasters, we've got Show 217. Once again, there's only one guy in the group without a presidential last name yet until I can talk his son into running. That's one Craig Bisgeier. Craig,
hello!
Craig, would your son run, please?
Well, you know what? It would be nice to have some. You know what? I don't know because he's a Trump fan, so I'm not so sure that's a good
idea. Oh, okay. Well, but still, you raised him, so I know he's got some brains. So.
You know, you'd think that, wouldn't you? But
all right, then I think all three of us need to run, and I think between the three of us, we'll come out with a rounded policy, and we'll be
at the very least, it'll be entertaining.
Okay? Exactly.
Can't do much worse than that big guy with the orange hair.
It's true.
Didn't you see my boxcar? The graffiti that I did on my boxcar? You saw that.
I don't think I did, actually.
Oh, yes, yes, I did.
Vote Vader?
Yes. Oh, that, yes, of course.
Yes. Vote Vader, yes. At least you know where he stands.
Well, that's true.
So true. Uh-huh. Anyhow. So, Craig, how's everything going?
Oh, not bad, not bad. We were talking in the pre-show that I've actually not had to travel for about a month or so, which has been nice.
Tim, I don't want to be obnoxious or anything, but are you actually going to introduce me?
You know what? Well, of course.
Could.
Craig. Yeah. We also, you know, it's been, see what it is, Jim, I'm out of practice. It's been so long since I've done this. So,
We just wanted to see how long it had been before you spoke up and humiliated yourself. You know,
exactly. So I was talking about presidential last names. We, of course, have one James Lincoln with us. Jim, how are you doing?
Oh, just magnificent.
Excellent.
Just magnificent.
You got roped in here, so.
Well, you know, that's what you say. You know, you do silly things and actually do model railroading and post it on Facebook. Then,
particularly and then people expect you to be accountable, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What the heck are you doing?
So, Craig, what is happening with you and with the Housatonic?
Well, you know, lately not a ton, but it's been nice being home. Lately I've been trying to get downstairs and try to clean up, which is, if anybody listened to the show for any length of time knows, that's pretty much constantly what I'm trying to do because I'm not very good at it. And so I end up doing it all the time. And what happens is that I pick up a project and go, oh, I could finish this. So.
Ooh, shiny.
Exactly. I get distracted very easily when it comes to cleaning. So about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I picked up a project I had started probably about 6 or 7 years ago. Long story made short, I had made a resin cast car kit of a New York Central 29-foot boxcar. And there had been a variant of it that the New York Central had, which was about a 24-foot car with four wheels, two axles, and it didn't have trucks. It was more like a European boxcar. And I always thought that that was really cool. I don't know if there was any more than one of them, but there was a photograph that was sometime taken after 1911 of that car. And I've had it in my collection for years, and I thought, oh, you know, it'd be fun to make that car one day. And so one day, instead of cleaning, I found the parts, and I said, you know what, I'm going to build this. And so over the span of about a week and a half, I took it, I put it together, I built the undercarriage for it, painted it, decaled it, and now I've got model that car sitting on the railroad, which is, you know, it's not the best job in the world, but it was enough to get the job done. So that was one thing. And then another thing is in the last couple of weeks, David Emery, who is also a big fan of the show and has been on many times, he's also an early period modeler like I am. And we've been talking about the idea for a while. We've been trying to put together something like a fast freight line that didn't really exist, but that we could kind of make decals for and have people join who were also other early period modelers. And the idea being that we could all have cars for our own railroads or railroads that we like and actually make them part of this fast freight line. So David and I have been going back and forth for the last few days coming up with designs for some of these. The line we chose to do was the Key Line, which sounds really good and like it probably existed, but in point of fact, there never was a fast freight line called the Key Line. So we're kind of making it ours. And so we're looking at making up some decals and we're going to sell them, you know, at cost, you know, more or less so. And people can buy a set and decal a car up and we can all kind of be part of this, you know, line together. You know, I just thought it'd be kind of a fun thing to do. So that's what I've been up to lately.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Now, Jim, I know some of what you're up to we're really going to talk about for the main bit of the show, but how's things been going? I know you've been – the last time we talked, I think you were talking about getting a 3D printer, and I think that happened, yes?
No.
Yes,
I was talking about it, and I was thinking about it, and I ended up supporting a Kickstarter, and I got a – it's kind of a 3D – it is – no, I'm sorry. It is a 3D printer and a CNC machine. And what I found is it's – I bought the biggest one because I figured, hey, I'm doing Oakscale, and it came, and it's too big. It's far too big than for my needs. And I was trying to learn another computer program and another discipline. And I wasn't really enjoying it. So, and then I had someone call me and said, what the heck are you fooling around with a CNC machine? I can do what you want on and use the $300,000 3D printer at the place I work to do your stuff for you.
Yes. Well, then.
And I'm like, okay, well, we need to talk. And then I said, well, okay, fine. Let me send you a test to see, you know, just a test product. And I sent him an end. I sent him the end of the boxcar and it came back and I was like, we need to talk. Because what was done, I had had essentially the same end done by someone with a Form 1 machine, which is Peter Stempel. I think he's, you all may know him. He did it for me. It took him 11 hours to print the thing. It was beautiful. It's like one of the best 3D prints I'd ever seen. This one was just about as good, if not as good. It wasn't at the highest resolution, and it only took 45 minutes.
Wow.
And I
was
like, yeah. And so as a test, I actually had him print out an alpha test of a O-scale waffle-sided boxcar. And so I have a waffle-sided boxcar in my possession, at least the shell. But he printed all the the sides, the ends, and the roof as separate pieces, and then I assembled it. And so the theory being that I want to get these resin cast and produce them. I have a couple of designs, and what has happened is I just kind of I lost my mojo for that. You know, I got. As
lost Craig, my mojo.
Yeah, lost my mojo. And Craig, Craig is like, ooh, shiny. You know, other things come up. And,
really?
But that, yeah. What? Huh? That does. That's kind of a long-winded answer to your question. I could have just said,
not much.
Perhaps. I said perhaps, sort of, kind of, but not.
Right.
It's a more of a CNC machine than a 3D printer. It does big things well. Mm-hmm. It 3D prints large objects quite well. I tried doing the conversion bolsters that I've got, and it really didn't do those very well. It's quite possible I didn't have the settings for the 3D printer right for it to work. But, you know, Shapeways with the sintered nylon does a lot of things that a desktop 3D printer is just not going to be able to do. So it's a particular process that worked quite well for trucks and bolsters. So it's like, you know, why fight with it?
Right. All right.
Anyway.
All right, that works.
I won't get into what why you're calling me.
We'll save that for the topic, right?
I mean, I have a bunch of other things that are going on. A couple mm-hmm. of very exciting projects that I finished.
Yes, well, I mean,
no,
not,
yes,
nice.
No, I actually, and yeah, Craig knows this is huge for me. I do a lot of things like 95%.
Well, that's you and I
or
share
70%.
That.
You know, 70%, 90%. I never finish anything. I actually finished something and sent it to somebody else. So now it's his problem, not mine.
Well, enlighten us.
Do you want to enlighten me? Not lighten you now? Or
yeah,
let's, take a,
your...
let's take a commercial break. And
okay, then take a exactly, and then. All right, the commercial break's over.
No, 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 no. It slices, it dices. But wait, there's more.
There's
for
more?
Just $19.95.
Hey, it makes Julian fries, but you got to hit that sucker just right.
Or yeah. Slam it shut.
And don't put your finger in it, because it'll cut that too. Let's see. Yes, the project that I finished. So I went to the Chicago O-Scale meet. It's in beginning of April, the end of March. It is the largest two-rail O-Scale meet in the country, which isn't big by any stretch of imagination, but it's the largest one. I was able to talk to a gentleman, and the reason I'm not going to specifically say who he is because I don't know whether he wants everybody to know what we're doing.
Gotcha.
And that he's doing it. Okay. The point is that he's doing it, not that it's getting done. So I had conversations with him before. He's the gentleman that made the masters for the Protocraft couplers. So the Protocraft couplers are those that look like prototype couplers. And you can actually, use the cut lever to open the knuckle.
Ooh,
although
snazzy.
Yes, you can operate them magnetically like surgeons or sergeants, whatever people want to call them. Mm-hmm. So I had conversations with him, and there's this ongoing problem in O-Scale that if you're a modern modeler, all modern tank cars since the 1980s have double shelf couplers. Perhaps you've heard me speak of this before.
It's a type E, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Type E, type F. Yeah. But mm-hmm. yeah, type E, double shelf coupler.
Yeah.
I have spoken to the gentleman that runs Protocraft, and his comment is there's no market for them. No. I've spoken to KD, and they have said, maybe, but probably not. We're not sure that there's a market for them. No one has ever asked us for them.
Mm.
Of course no one ever asked. No one has ever put anything in writing. Of course they're not going to, because you always say no. Why would I keep asking you?
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right. So I spoke to the gentleman and I said, if you can get me the plans, the drawings, if you can get me the drawings for the Protocraft coupler, I'll draw them in SolidWorks and I'll put shelves on it. And then, because you can't just take a Protocraft coupler, slap shelves on it and cast it because of the 3% shrinkage.
Aha.
Silliness. So you'd have a coupler that was too small. So you can't do that. Particularly with shelf couplers, because shelf couplers work. When you
right.
put two shelf couplers together, they don't uncouple.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to work right. Otherwise they'll drive you insane.
I'm gonna leave that one alone.
yeah. I was able to get one working, sort of. I soldered the shelves on top of a Protocraft coupler.
But you just said
it looks great.
Do that.
No, you can do it, but you can't cast it.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Because I did it, and I talked to the gentleman from Protocraft, and he said you can't cast it because There's this shrinkage, so you have to make the master 3% larger. Mm-hmm. Oh, stink. So, and I had never really heard anything from him. He said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll send you the plans. And nothing. Well, I actually met him at the show, and he said, you'll forgive me, but, you know, I'm a little hesitant about sending people that I don't have any idea who they are. my proprietary drawings, because I've had things stolen and I have a rather large quantity of money invested in these things and I don't really want them stolen from me. Can't totally understandable. That, yeah. He says, now that I've met you, we're cool. I'll send them to you. So he sent me the drawings and I asked, you know, what do you need? Do you need me to give you drawings or do you need a, you know, a 3D model? And not a 3D printed model, but a SolidWorks model. And he said, the SolidWorks model will be fine. And so I did, and he's going to bankroll it. So depending on how much it will cost, I might be able to pay for it. But he said he's willing to do it if I can't.
Okay.
So what that means is, and I mentioned, I don't suppose you might want to do the lower shelf coupler too, since we're, you know, it's not that much. I mean, all a lower shelf coupler is a double shelf coupler with no upper shelf.
Okay.
Quite literally, as long as you draw the lower shelf first and then add the upper shelf on into the model, you can easily just save the model without the shelf on it. So, and then send him that because they're virtually identical. So he said, yeah, that's great. We'll do the lower and the double shelf couplers at the same time. So okay. He wants to do it. And then I asked him, I mean, I don't suppose you might want to do the Type H too. The Type H tight lock, which is on passenger equipment since the 50s.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah. And if you want to do the Type F, we'll do those too. We'll do all of them at the same time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he now has in his hot little hands the double shelf, the lower shelf, and the Type H tight lock.
Very good.
Couplers are in his hands. So the 3D models function as advertised. Have no idea what will happen when he makes the masters, but now it is no longer my problem anymore. So they are done. Well, they're essentially done. If he comes back and says, hey, you need to change X and Y, then I'll change X and Y. But
sure.
I sent him the models and then I realized I'd made a kind of rather large error.
Oops.
He hadn't cut them yet. So it wasn't a big deal. It was just, I misunderstood something in his drawings. So I made a mistake. I made an assumption. And then when I drew the knuckle and put the knuckle into an assembly, I was like, that doesn't look right. Oh, that's why. Oh, that's what those lines in the drawing mean. Ah, okay.
Funny how that works.
Yes, funny how that works. Because he was giving me, you know, top right, top right front drawings, but no isometric drawings to really see how everything fit together.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I was having issues. But those are – so that project is done. So it's actually a project that is no longer in my hands, out of my hands with someone else.
That's pretty impressive. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, for me. So I also created a small O-scale electrical cabinet. I'll call it electrical bungalow. So it's a different style. So it's a pitched roof instead of the standard four-sided roof.
Right.
I forget what they're called. It's not a, you know, it's like a regular house roof. And I've never
like
seen gable? Anyone.
You mean like that?
Is it gable?
I don't know. Is gable it two-sided end? With a pointy end on one side?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway.
Okay, gable, yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's not something I've seen models of.
Okay.
So I made the 3D model of it, printed it shapeways. And I sent it to a resin caster, and I should have had him by now, but he's had some medical issues and hasn't been able to get them to me. So I've been waiting around for that, but I'm waiting for that. And that's actually done. It's another project that's done, but I don't know how popular that will be. But it was a test of, again, that, you know, I'm just going to make do 30 of them. There's that, there's the couplers, there's that. I've been working on conversion bolsters for the Atlas Trinity tank cars.
Okay, I saw that.
Yes. That I had to make a couple adjustments to, which was kind of one of those silly things because I should have checked something very basic and didn't.
This sounds like a common theme with you.
Yeah. You know, I added a plate that's 40 thousandths thick, maybe 60 thousandths thick. I added a plate on the wrong side of the coupler box. And that 60 thousandths means you can't put the coupler in the coupler box.
Oh, good. Okay.
Small things. Yeah. Small things. And I didn't test it because it didn't fit on the car. So I'm like, well, I'm not even going to bother putting the coupler in. You know, I mean, all I did was take measurements from the existing coupler box to locate everything. So I just naturally assumed that everything was right. Well, when I cypoxed the living snot out of this bolster to get it onto the car, so it's not moving anywhere. I get everything all together, and then I go to put the coupler in, and the coupler won't move. I was like, oh, boy.
Don't!
And then I went into the 3D model, and I'm like, ah, well, that'll do it. You put the plate on the wrong side.
Hate it when that happens.
Yeah. And a lot, you know, everybody out sitting out there is probably like, what? What difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference when you're doing these things. When you start engineering things and you're like, I'll just slap this on here. You don't. Yeah. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, the funny thing is a lot of the stuff worked, you know, so the mounting, I got all of the mounting posts in the right, in the proper locations. It fit into the car. It wasn't a problem. There was a couple of things I didn't know about, but I was able to fill it with putty, so it wasn't an issue. The subsequent model that I have coming from Shapeways has a plate that fills in that spot, but it's possible that you may be better off filling it with putty. I don't know yet.
That remains to be seen.
Yes, until I get the part back. So it's one of those things that as soon as you put the thing on, you look at the underside of the car, you'll see that there's something missing, and it's like... Psst. Somebody who has no idea about O-scale models and stuff, he's a rail fan, and when I showed him the pictures, he says, what's up with that gap right there? Like, yeah, I'm working on it. Okay. It wasn't even a very good picture, and he was able to see it. And he's like, yeah, there's a big stinking hole right there. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to fill it with body putty, okay? Oh, okay, yeah, it'll look a little lot better than, yeah, I'm sure it will. So that is... It's actually something I've wanted to do for a long time. Ever since I got into Proto 48, I've wanted to convert. I bought 20 Atlas Corn Syrup tank cars with the thought that the first thing that I was going to do was going to be a corn syrup plant. Sure. And I was going to 20 foot long corn syrup plant. That's what I was going to build on that section of HO scale railroad, you know, that's like, is my bench right now, Craig.
Yep.
You remember that one?
I do.
It's next to the 3 feet, the most beautiful railroad.
That's
beautiful
it. Yes.
Track you've ever seen. So I was going to put a big corn syrup plant there. So I bought these 20 cars, and then I flipped them over and I realized you can't just put Proto 48 trucks on it because you can see them. So all my bolsters that convert Atlas Proto 48, Atlas roller bearing trucks to Proto 48. You know, Atlas makes concessions for the three-rail market. So their trucks are made in a particular way. If you make them so they look right, then the couplers are a quarter inch off. The coupler height's a quarter inch off.
Now, is that quarter inch scale or a quarter inch in real life?
Actual quarter inch, so a foot off. Foot scale, yes.
Okay.
No, a quarter inch scale, I can live with a quarter inch scale. I can't live with...
Well, that was, you know, I kind of figured that was the case, but I thought it was important to point that out.
That's very good. Yes, thank you. So I put that off because the bolster on the bottom of these tank cars is cast onto the bottom of the part of the weight. So, and they're like intertwined, and there's all sorts of details. They're beautiful cars, and I just got put off by. I would look at it. I said, I can do this. No, I can't. I says, I have no idea. Nothing and it was clicking. And then one day I said, you know what? The heck with this foolishness. And this is like 2 or 3 months ago. The heck with this foolishness. Let me just take one of these things apart. And I realized it was very easy to get everything off. and take it apart without busting everything. So I was like, oh, wow. And then, oh, and then this just does this. And I was like, okay, well, I got to clamp the car. I got to find some way to clamp the car so I can use my milling machine to mill all this material off. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute. I can just take these two screws out and it comes out. Woo!
How'd that go again? That's what I thought. Okay.
So the I was milling this, and then actually just the weight, the bottom of the frame, the bottom of the car, whatever you want to call it, just fits in my clamp for the Sureline mill that I have. Come to find out, however, you have to cut a lot of material. You know, all the cutters I have are rather large, and you're cutting a lot of material that isn't particularly necessary. I can do the same thing, honestly, a lot quicker with a jeweler's saw.
Mm-hmm.
So subsequent ones, the major cuts will be done with a jeweler's saw, and then I'll finish it. There's a couple of things you have to mill, but not very much. And so I, at least right now, I'm waiting for another part, but I have one Atlas 17,000 gallon tank car that is proto 48ed, and it looks right. Cool. It doesn't have double shelf couplers because I have no idea when those are going to be available. So if anybody says, oh, that's so cool, when will they come out? I have no idea. Absolutely zero. He has given me no time frame, no nothing. It is no longer in my hands. So I just did my part.
No, but can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, you know, for those who are like, oh, well, you know, I'd model O scale and, you know, modern, but, you know, there's no double shelf couplers. Well, there will be. They at least exist now.
Right.
In the ether, but they at least they are drawn.
There is a possibility.
Well, there's a much great wellness. Yes, there's a possibility. They haven't been done yet, so it's a possibility. So, and then I said, well, I've got all these very cool Atlas 25,000 gallon tank cars that they just came out with. Wow, these bolsters look exactly the same. And in the prototype, they're virtually identical.
Okay.
Cool. I'll just use the same part. Well, when I took the 25,000 gallon one apart, it's different.
Imagine that.
Yes. But not so different that it's impossible. So I just made some slight adjustments, and I also have the bolster coming for the 25,000 gallon car that hopefully will just drop in and work. So nice. I made the adjustments, so that one is done. You end up having to use my trucks. You either have to use my trucks or you have to buy a bolster that I make to mount Atlas trucks onto the car. But
It can't be done. And you heard it here, folks. We have proof that Jim Lincoln did finish projects. So
yes. I'm very good at. Wait, you know what? I'm very good at finishing things for other people.
Yeah. See,
just not for myself generally. So you mean because this boxcar project has been languishing and just
right
because drawing something to 3D print it is one thing. Drawing something to 3D print so you can make a kit out of it so that you can resin cast it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to take parts off.
Yep.
And create mounting pins that are in logical places that don't destroy other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to beef stuff up so it can actually be cast.
And then, of course, you also have to make sure, as you and I discussed about a year or so ago, that when you create the parts to be cast, that they don't have things like, you know, holes in them that will cause them to be trapped in the mold or other things that make it impossible to actually do the casting.
Right. Well, a lot of this, I do what I do, and then I give it to I show to the resin caster, and he's like, no, that'll work.
You're out of your mind. Right. This will never work.
Yeah. of course it really, you've got no idea.
Yeah, crazy.
That may be true, but matters not.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. I got to work on my Scottish accent. So we got that. I also have bolsters for the Atlas 5161 Trinity covered hoppers. to take the old ones off, mount the new ones on. Then you can use either Protocraft. I have one. It's for Protocraft or KD couplers. And then mount my trucks onto it. So that it's, you know, you don't have that whole, because again, with covered hoppers, you can see the trucks are screwy. So it's right. Easy to describe when you show it to someone that's other people. Well, what's the matter with them? You'd have to look at it. It's the whole, you know, three rail, two rail thing.
Right. Right.
And the three rail is what drives the market. And
it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, but any, I don't really mind three rail because the three rail stuff is actually $5 less expensive than the two rail stuff is. So I mean, oh, you know, it's like, I'll just buy the three rail stuff. I don't care. I'm going to cut it all off anyway. So, and if I buy a three rail car, I don't have to take the couplers off because the couplers on the trucks.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, and then I sell all the parts on eBay, all the guts that I take out of the trucks. I just sell it on eBay and I make $5.
Nice.
Yeah.
One.
All right. Well, Model Railcasters, we've drug them in here because basically it was the flashy thing that distracted me on Facebook.
Yeah, that seems to be a common theme.
The three of us.
Ooh, shiny.
Exactly. Exactly. Jim, you posted in a couple different groups, and I was like, I'm going to snag them before somebody else will. And you found this really cool looks like a really cool module and a track plan that came with it, or the goat that you've been working out. Why, can you give us basically the history of what it is you saw and what it is that we're looking at here?
Okay, the module is a section of the portable layout, the portable Proto 48 layout that Jim Cantor built. It was at the, I'm assuming it's going to be at the Indianapolis convention coming up, and it was, where was the other, it wasn't in Indianapolis, where was the other NMRA? That was kind of near that, but not because it's in Indy this year.
It is, yes.
2 years ago, where was it? Atlanta? I don't know. I don't know.
Possibly. I don't remember, honestly.
Doesn't matter. And one of the, well, let me see. I'm going to see if I can find a YouTube link to post to you guys.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Of the layout in operation. And so when I saw it, because I had my shoulder operation last year, so I had a lot of time to do model railroading things. And
who was Cleveland?
Right, Cleveland. Okay.
Yes.
It was there in its first iteration. And, they rushed to get it ready to bring it up. And it's four pieces. And essentially each piece is 2x8. Put them together. And you have an 8x16 layout.
Oh, all right.
Which is essentially an O-scale 4x8.
Sure.
Essentially. You know, okay, you can't do much with O-scale on a 4x8 sheet of plywood, but you can do, you know, I mean, 8x16 isn't unreasonable.
Oh.
So I looked at it, and I really liked the track plan. And I was like, wow, you know, I would like to make, you know, because if I could – do an article or something, if I ever can write any articles. I've tried sometimes. I just don't, again, I don't have the, like a lot of times I just don't have the creative energy to write something. And then when I do, it's like I want to be doing something else. The problem is, you know, the problem with writing is then you have to stop doing other things.
Right.
So, let's see. Proto 48. And it was done by Terry Terrence.
Okay.
So Terry Terrence had taken the videos. And.
Wow. Okay.
So, all and right. what's
11 minutes the, long, you know?
Well,
no, we'll just post a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, post a look in the show notes. Let me find the other, and what it did is the plan actually allows you to run three trains at the same time.
Okay.
You have one running around the circuit. Then you have one on the inside switching the industries because all the industries are on the inside, totally separate from the outside track. Mm-hmm. And then you have the outer straight track that you, if you had very large locomotives and you didn't want to, and they wouldn't negotiate, because these are 36 inch radius curves. The main running track.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Main running track is 40 inch radius. The inside industrial track is 36 inch radius. Now, what this photograph is how it fits into the trailer.
Is this going to be a bonfire? What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. All right.
That works. Okay.
Yep. So, and this is the, just basically shows you the industrial side. What you're seeing in all these photos is, you know, obviously there, this is when they broke it in down. So this is without all the structures on it.
Sure.
And all the structures, they did a really nice job. All they did was use, there's nothing really fancy. It's all built ups from Woodland Scenics.
Okay.
Screwed together. So like the streets are screwed together. And the not the streets, but the buildings on the streets.
Okay.
Are screwed together. They're screwed together. So you take off three buildings at a time. And then underneath there's a foundation of 3/4 inch plywood that just slides over.
So what you're saying is they're mounted to a plate that you can screw down to the layout. The buildings.
The plate remains on the layout.
Okay.
The plate doesn't move. So the underneath of the buildings is hollow, and it just sits on it.
Oh, okay. So all right. The buildings so are it's separate, almost like so a permanent foundation, and then you put the building on top of it.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. Yep.
See, all was that so hard?
Huh?
Nothing. Keep going.
I love you, too.
You know, we feel loved.
I'm feeling it all the way from here, let me tell you.
In a buddy sort of way.
Yeah.
Like,
in a little
like
pain for a good cigar. Yeah.
Like, if you ask me, hey, man, would you go get me a beer out of the fridge? I'd say, go get it yourself.
Yeah, okay. Now you're talking. That's really very interesting.
Yeah. It's a neat little town, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little unfinished, but, you know, it looks good.
Right. Yes, they could have, you know, done a little bit more work on the, mm-hmm. you know.
But it's, what they have is really quite nice.
Right. And let's see, you've got that. I think you've got that view.
So this section that, I'm not trying to jump the gun, but I'm looking right now at the photo of the gentleman in the center of the layout.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The section that you've been working on is the section he's more or less facing. Is that correct?
Correct.
Similar. Okay.
Yes. Yep. And here is the other side, the side opposite, but with structures on it.
Okay.
And then the neat thing about it is, I mean, if you saw where that crossing was, and then this is the, can't see it quite as well, but you can see how on the end, on the curve end, not, this is the one that's opposite the town.
Mm-hmm.
There is actually room for expansion. So you could go off that track that's the tail track.
Sure.
In actuality, all that is so that you can cross over. But it's in theory, if you change.
Right, basically it's a tail track for the crossover there. Exactly, yeah.
Right. Okay. But if you wanted to, you could build a staging yard off that end.
Sure. Or even another module to run it out to.
Right. See, what I'm actually thinking about is you could make a basic and exact copy of this.
Sure.
But you could also make it so that you could have a larger curve at the end. So instead of having, you know, the 36-inch radius curves, you make it double the size. Just make two modules instead of one. The sure. nice thing about this plan is that it...
Well, obviously it's flexible.
It's flexible, but it's also... It's only 8x16. People think, oh, O-scale is too big. I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can operate. You can run trains. In a lot of ways, I enjoy operating. I enjoy operations, but I also find having a train run around in circles very cathartic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it's nice that, particularly on a layout this big, they actually had a train. The thing about O-scale and the way they have this town built, they had a train with I think it was an SW1 switcher and 5, 6, 7 cars just circling the layout. And you could lose the train on the layout because of the town.
Sure.
Depending on where you were standing, one time I looked over and I'm like, where's the train? They didn't actually take it off.
Right.
Oh, there it is. Because they weren't, you know, obviously they weren't cranking around at 50 miles an hour. They were going around at about 10 or 20, you know, nice logical speed for this, you know. And then they never operated the inside track because – at this point, the layout was a couple of years old, and sure. so there was a couple of track issues, I think, and the people involved are older and weren't in the best of conditions, so they couldn't wrestle it so that it was perfect. I think that's what was going on. They got it so that the loop was running, and that's
something, yeah.
And I don't think they wanted to station anybody there to just, you know, watch over the running of the inside track. And then you would have to have a shuttle. You have some sort of shuttle circuit for the straight track on the outside. And the other, let's see if I can get, if you can see it. Yeah, you can kind of see it.
Yeah. I'm going to post all these in the notes.
That's fine. I actually have this. I could just send you the link to the whole, folder.
The directory on Dropbox. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because that way they can see. I took pictures of how they wired it, mm-hmm. the legs. I took pictures of everything of on this thing. So, and one more. This isn't all that exciting. But anyway, so that ought to do it. That gives you at least an idea of what's going on. So, and on this end, with the double tracks going through that diamond,
mm-hmm.
you could also have staging on this end too. So,
okay.
you know, sure. You could have trains going both directions. You know, so it's actually a very operationally has a lot going on in that small space.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is what appealed to you?
Which is what appealed to me, particularly because it's Proto 48 and it's a manageable size.
Right.
Oh, I can't do anything in O scale. Well, yes, you can, but it depends on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, there's a lot of people. You go to RPM meets and they look see Proto 48 and they like, oh wow, that's so awesome. But I would need an airplane hangar to do what I want. Okay,
yeah.
Perhaps, but you know, that's great. I mean, if what you want is a...
If you want a model horseshoe curve, yeah.
Yeah, if you want a, or, you know, Tony Custer's, you know, nickel plate.
Right.
Yeah, you need a lot of space to try to do what he did. I mean, you'd have to have double the space anyway. But if you're more interested in doing something like Lance Nienheim, where you're doing an industrial switching layout,
right.
you only need, you know, two locomotives. You don't need as many cars because it's not as much space to put it. So, you know, I bought 20 corn syrup tank cars. Those you can nominally get every once in a while, 40, 50 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can spend that much on HO cars.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, you could.
Yeah, you can. I mean, doesn't necessarily. But, you know, every one of those, you can very easily, okay, maybe not 50 bucks, but you can easily spend 25.
Sure. Okay.
So, and you're not going to, you know, for a train that you'd need, you know, 40 cars for, a 20 car O-scale train is huge.
Sure.
It's just not visually unimpressive. So anyway, I said, all right, I had built this piece of benchwork. It's been sitting down in the basement for months. Mm-hmm. I actually came home and I built the piece of edge work really quickly. It's like, zip, I had it done. And it sat there. And so I don't know what kind of put the bee in my bonnet to do something. But I said, you know what? I'm gonna
hazard a guess and say that you had to clean.
No. I had just been doing a lot of work on these other projects, and as we spoke, I have to fight my addiction to computer games.
Sure.
But I actually came into this game that the game we were talking about is actually more satisfying in a lot of ways because you can actually win. Novelty on a you know, on an internet game, it's a novelty when you can actually do vaguely well. So I had, you know, it's like getting satisfied with that. It's like, you know, I really ought to do this. And I said, okay, well, if I'm going to do it, I want to have everything laid out properly. So let me crank up Templot. The nice thing about Templot is it isn't really a track planning software. It's a hand laying track design software. So if you already know your track plan, it helps you design things.
Okay.
But it isn't like, I'm going to take a number 8 switch and drop it here. And it is totally not intuitive.
Mm.
That's helpful.
Absolutely. The difference is the instructions and the tutorials are magnificent. They have instructional videos that take you through just building a basic track plan. And they're some of the best instructional videos you'll ever find. There's nobody talking, but you know, they'll tell you, okay, this is what we're doing. And then they take the cursor and they circle the command with with the mouse pointer.
Sure.
So say, this is what we're clicking. Click. And then it shows you, this is what's going to happen. And now this is how this command works. And it's really, you know, it gives you a lot of information. So say, you know, you want a number 5 switch. You want a number 5 switch because I did this for somebody. Somebody asked me, well, I need the inside radius to be 13 inches and I need this thing to be something else. And I'm like, that's like a number 3. That's just like crazy. I can't do that. And when I went into Templot and I said, well, let me draw it. And I drew it and it said, oh, that's a number 5 frog. I'm like, really? Wow. Yeah, it tells you the frog angles and you can essentially draw any track arrangement you want once you figure out how everything works. But to be fair, when you go onto the tab, it's free to download now. I actually paid for it. But now it's free to download. That's why when this little thing that says, please donate. No, I'm not. I already paid for the stupid thing a long time ago. It was worth the money. It's honestly. But so it allows you to do things that you just wouldn't ever think of doing. I mean, it's how I used Templot to draw the curved yard ladder on Mike Rose's layout that I built. And you're able to print it out to scale, and it's absolutely to scale. You put the thing together, and then you know, it shows you where all the ties go. All the ties, all the frogs, everything. It tells you exactly where everything belongs. It is a hand layer's dream.
Hmm.
You can move ties. You can take ties out. You can stretch ties. You can move everything around. You can say, you can make them English frogs or American frogs.
Okay.
Because in the United States, all the frogs are straight. They may look curved, but they're not.
Right, that's true.
All of them are straight. So there's a setting in the program that allows you to compensate for that. It's such a versatile program. But, I mean, to be fair, in the instructions, when you go on the website, it says, if you're not willing to read the instructions and you're not willing to watch the tutorial videos, please don't download this program because you will be very frustrated.
Mm.
It tells you up front. So like, yeah, I don't want to read nothing. I will say this about the manuals. They're very long and they're very detailed. The videos are way better. So They're a lot quicker. Yep. They get you go. They get you moving a lot quicker. But anyway, so as I'm drawing this, I started drawing it out, and I was fighting with it. As I said, I didn't want to rewatch the videos, but I hadn't used the program in 2 years, and it's not like any other. It looks like Windows, but nothing is like makes any sense. For instance,
this is a great testimonial for this product. I want you to know.
Well, then fine. Cut that out. But
this, no. I think we should leave it in.
But the point is, it's an extremely powerful product once you learn how to use it.
Right.
Sure. That makes perfect
sense. It is not like any other Windows program you will ever use, but it tells you it isn't.
Right. So, it's upfront about it.
Yeah, it's upfront, you know, and for instance, I want to move this switch. So I've got this turnout I've drawn, and I want to move it like to a certain different place on the screen. Now, the reason for that is, again, this prints this out on 8.5 by 11 paper, according to the grid that's on the screen. So I had, because I specifically knew where the two of the tracks needed to go, I said, all right, I'm going to line it up on this line right here, because this is the logical thing. And I put it on zero. I put it on the zero line so that either end of this thing was straight. Well, the problem is anything below zero doesn't get printed.
Okay.
So all that will get printed is the top half of the ties and the center line.
Wow.
All the rest of it doesn't get printed, which isn't a problem if it's a piece of straight track, but it isn't. There's a turnout in it. So I had to move the switch. Well, you'd think that the command to move the switch is move. Well, it's not. It's shift.
Oh, no.
It's shift.
Shift. Because that makes shift. Perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Shift. Because I want to shift it around.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, it does. But as an American, you're like, I want to move it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to shift
it. There's a language issue here as well. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, roam along length.
I'm thinking of another word that starts with SH.
No. But, you know, you have like commands like roam along length. And what that means is that, if, you know, I can draw a 400 millimeter long, as this is all in metric. They do have a really cool metric calculator in there, though, that does come with it. But metric to inch calculator. I want to draw a piece of straight track that's 400 millimeters long. Okay, now I want to put a turnout in that. So what you do is you go up and you find put turnout in plane track. So insert turnout in plane track. Okay, click, boom, it puts it in. That's in the wrong place. So what it allows you to do is when you click roam along length, you can move that turnout anywhere along that 400 millimeters.
Okay.
You just slide it up and down. It's actually very cool.
And as it happens in CAD real, the command for that is slide.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay. All right. Well, I've never used CAD real.
So. No, I'm sure you haven't. Because you probably wouldn't be using Templot.
Well, yeah, but Templot, again, it's specifically for hand laying.
Yes.
It puts everything in so you know exactly where everything belongs, all the ties.
And that's fine. That's good. I mean, I'm sure it's a great program. I'm just teasing. I'm sure it's really quite a good program.
It's a very good program. It's just not intuitive.
Yes.
That's all, by their own admission. So anyway, so as I'm playing with this and I'm fighting with it, trying to, and I'm like, you know, I don't really want to watch these stupid videos again. But they're not stupid videos. So I don't want to spend the time.
Okay.
And I ended up spending the time, and you actually spend less time watching the videos than you would trying to fight with it. So
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah. So, and then I said, wait a minute, this is Templot. I can do anything I darn well please. Let me see how this would look if I made the whole thing curved. I wonder if it'll fit. You know, I know how long it is. I know what each end needs to be. I know what's going on in between, so let me just see if a nice sweeping curve will fit in. Well, Of course, what that does is it pitches everything so that now you don't just have one or two curved turnouts. All of them are. All of them now become curved turnouts, which look great. It's just a bit of a pain to build.
Of course.
The only good thing.
Well, the good thing is if you're not very good at it, it's very easy to build curved turnouts.
I got it.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
I'm throwing this fastball. Get one out of the park here.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Anyway, so, yes, but they won't be engaged. Well, lies the problem.
Pish posh, yeah.
Pish posh, yes. But is it nice thing about Proto 48 is there is, in fact, no filing involved.
Okay.
Because you're using parts. You buy the Proto 48 frogs and Proto 48 points and everything. So all you need to know is where all those belong and where the ties go, and you're pretty much good to go. So in theory, that's what I'm hoping.
Right, right.
Shall find out.
Yes, we shall. Because I've been laying down Homosote roadbed and haven't been very happy with that, but what can you do? The wonders of Homosote.
Yeah, which is not very consistent in terms of thickness.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
We
nope.
all learn that, don't we?
Uh-huh. See, that's why the first turnout that I did, I did Homosote spline.
Mm-hmm.
Which don't make no difference. You just make a flat surface and lay the stuff down. That's just great. But you use a lot of Homosote doing that.
Well, yes.
Oh, yeah. And it's pretty heavy, too.
It's not light. And it makes a whole lot of dust.
So, anyway, getting back to the design, I played with it in Templot. And considering the fact that I was fighting with it earlier in the day, I actually had that thing drawn in just a couple of hours. It wasn't like totally learning it and like spending days on this thing.
Sure.
Once I was able to pick it right back up. So, like, all right, this whole thing done, and it's like, oh, wow, I think this is really cool. It's the same thing, but it's different enough that it's just, you know, it's interesting in a model railroad. And I actually asked the same question to myself that you asked me when I posted it.
Well, great minds think alike.
Which is, why did the railroad do this?
Yes.
And that's actually an excellent point that, you know, you want to think about with layout design.
Of course.
Particularly if you're specifically making a prototype. You know, you have to think about why.
Well, yeah.
Why did the railroad put this curve here? Because they don't want to.
Exactly. The railroad wants straight track. It's the easiest to maintain, and, you know.
And you can go and you can have somebody build it off-site.
Yep.
And they come and they drop it in as a panel. Plop! And it's done.
Yep.
As opposed to all this curve foolishness, which cost $1 bazillion to maintain. So
there's generally got to be a good reason for it.
Right. Generally. Except in England. England, they do whatever they darn well please, but
yes,
this isn't England, and apparently there's a lot more space here, so they can get away with not doing that. However, I looked at it, and after I saw that, I basically was like, you know what? This isn't a specific prototype. I think it looks cool. I'm doing it anyway. So there you have it.
Okay, then. So taking reality and throwing it right out the window. Great.
That's right. No. And I think probably the best – there's a couple of things that can happen here is I thought you can put in like a blank – somebody had posted about putting a foundation there, like a crumbling foundation, like a very large structure that was there that was probably a major shipper.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, hey, guess what? We're not moving our building. And if you want to, to ship from us, if you want us to pay you to ship things, I think you better run the track around it.
Mm.
And depending on the size of the customer, they probably, okay. or you could put a big piling for a highway overpass.
Yep, that could work.
Would also be very valid. Of course, I thought of that, and then I said, that's Titus, by the way. Yeah, great question that you can ask yourself, which is, why did the, you know, okay, this thing may look cool, but why did the railroad do it?
Yeah, it's kind of an important question, I think, in layout design. Yeah. You always want to try to, you know, and there's two reasons for it. One is that, you know, first of all, you want it to look correct, because anything that is out of the ordinary, unless there's a reason for it, it's going to stand out, and people are going to look at it and say, well, they're going to ask exactly that question. Well, why is it like that?
Yeah, so basically I just said, yeah, the heck with it, I'm going to put it in, because I haven't been really working out my hand-laying chops. So this will give me a good...
be a challenge, that's true.
Yeah, then I start laying the home a bed, and I'm like, this is just crap.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yep. So now, instead of just being able to lay ties down on it, not only do I have to sand it, I have to fill it, sand it, level it. Oh, God.
And then, Lord help you if you got to drive spikes into the places you had to fill.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm going to have to fill the whole thing. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Wow. That's usually not that bad, but...
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, either that or I'm just going to have to be sanding a whole lot. So, we'll see. Perhaps I won't, but I have a feeling I will. But I was able to, I printed the whole thing out in Templot, and then taped the whole thing together, and then I cut out the settle lines. So I just ran the bench work, quote unquote, is made out of gator foam. Whole thing is gator foam. So I took an X-Acto knife and I just ran it along the center lines.
Mm-hmm.
Cut out the center lines. I mean, I had to make sure that I was cutting into the gator foam is actually pretty stout. And I had to make multiple passes and I busted the tip of an X-Acto knife getting the lines in. But then I went over them with a pencil. So I tried, you know, bearing down hard on the center line with a pencil. And yeah, the gator foam ain't having none of that.
It's tough stuff.
Oh yeah, you got to cut into it. I mean, nice thing, it holds nails. So I'm actually using fairly large nails because I couldn't find any of the wire nails that I had.
Okay.
So I'm using fairly large nails. So when I'm gluing the homobed down, I am using nails to hold it in place until the glue dries. And
sure, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I laid it down, and the nice thing about it being an O scale is I just taped the whole thing back together. Since you're not totally disintegrating it, you know, by cutting it up. So I cut that out. I went over it with a pencil, and now I'm laying the home of it down. But I'm trying to lay the home bed like I would with cork. And okay, a lot of times it's just not the same.
No, it's not. It's true.
No. But I wouldn't want to have to pay for O-scale cork. Good God.
Well, gosh, no.
No.
But it would probably be more consistent.
You think?
Which would save you some time.
Yeah, but I don't have any. I don't know where to get any, and I have a whole rather large quantity of home beds. So
see, there's this. Well, okay, fine. I was gonna say there's this thing called Google, you know, but
I already have it.
I understand that. I get it.
I bought a supply of it. Well, you know, it's just more work. The problem with me, in many instances, is if the job becomes more of an aggravation, I'll just stop.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'll just stop doing it. And then like nothing happens for 6 months. Right. So it's like, then, you know, it's
shiny. And then it's back to that project again.
Maybe,
maybe,
maybe, maybe. So that is of what I am fearing right now. It's like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, I'm getting irritated. I'm getting irritated at this as I'm building it, but I got to keep going. So, anyway, any more questions, Tim?
I'm just looking over it now and just to see.
I tell you, I'll be interested once you – I mean, assuming the idea here is that you're taking this as your first module that you're working on and that you're going to –
Yes.
Trying to incorporate the other three at some point as well.
At some point, yeah.
And I'll be very interested to see how that ends up working out. That should be fun.
Yes. Yes. There's actually a certain amount of operation going on this. It's not much tail tracks, but, you know, you really kind of have to have at least the far end, not the city end, but the other end. You kind of have to have that end to have enough of a tail and enough of an industry to, you know, to do very much. But you have two industry tracks, and you've got the two industrial tracks, you've got the crossovers. You know, a lot of this is, you know, a showcase for Proto 48 track work. You know, that's what this is going to be. So.
But really, it's going to provide you with a good example to show how you can get an operational quality Proto 48 layout in a relatively comparatively small space, though.
Correct. Really, and I'll have the I'll make sure I have the pictures of the simple one so people don't go, ah! What the heck is this?
That's half the fun right there.
Serve turnouts. Oh my god. You're actually put tie plates under every single tie? Yes.
Yes.
And under the frog there's two tie plates on every tie under the frog. You're out of your mind. That's beside the point. That is beside the point. You're just jealous.
So now, with your version of this, are you envisioning a modern era type layout?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. I mean, I've looked at that. I mean, actually, all of it, if you looked at the other side, so if you look at the photos and you look at the other side, I easily saw where they had that fuel oil dealership. Mm-hmm. That could be a grain elevator.
Sure, okay.
Over there, on the other side where they had the aggregate, that would be perfectly fine with some smaller cement hoppers or some sand hoppers. That's perfectly fine. And the one with the two tracks, that could be a couple of things. One, not bad for corn syrup plant. The only problem with corn syrup is you kind of need to place the switch and there isn't any place, unless you have, a yard, which there isn't on that. But I was thinking that it would be interesting to make, you know, that staging yard. The other thing is this is cool to bring places. This is very, you know, it's one thing if you keep it at 8x16, it's very portable.
Obviously,
you know, you get a decent sized trailer. It'll, like he does, easy to take around with you. The moment you get any larger than this, it's just stupid. It's cool to have. Well, it's just you need a big trailer. You know, spending thousands of dollars on a trailer to carry this stupid little thing around. And, you know, yes, it would be great to have larger radius curves, but, you know, where are you going to put it? You know,
right.
Or what you do is you have the lower, you know, the larger radius curves at home. And you still have that small piece that fits in. So kind of as long as you're making it relatively the same. And I mean, it isn't really modular because the ends are very specific. But as long as you make another module or, you know, another section that has that same end, it's not a problem.
Absolutely.
Or that same style of an end, rather, you know, same connection, rather. So, and, you know, all these, I was amazed at how well the thing ran. And the reason the thing ran well, even though it's 40-inch radius curves, is that everything has easements. You know, they have like 96-inch radius easements. So, yeah, it's a 40-inch radius curve, but you're going into it at 96 inches. And when Craig, when you mentioned it, says, this looks kind of tight. And it's like,
right.
They're 16 foot radius curves.
Yeah.
At least the main S curve is like, it's enormous. It's like 4,000 millimeters, which is, I think, 14 feet or something.
Yeah, about that, something. Yeah.
Yeah. something like that. So I said, well, it looks tight. Well, it's not. Okay.
Well, fine.
So, I mean, yeah, 144 inches is 72-inch radius in an NHO.
Correct.
So that's only 12
feet.
So,
yeah, that's pretty
I mean, it is a tight curve in the on the prototype.
Yes.
But it's ginormous for
A model. Yeah.
For a model. That's why, you know, I wasn't going to have the curves crazy, but I wanted a nice sweeping curve. And the other thing is all the turnouts that I'm using are so big. I mean, the crossovers are number 10s. The inside turnouts are 8s. Anything that's on the main line is a number 10. That's why you can get away with it. The inside's number 8, and the one that's straight, there's actually one turnout. Well, actually, one of the turnouts on the inside is straight. When it was a number 10, it was curved. When I changed the frog to number 8, I thought I had made it a number 8 turnout, but I didn't. And then when I went back into template, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a number 10. Let me change it to 8, and it turned it into a straight turnout.
Well, there you go.
Yes, and then that leads into a number 7 straight turnout. So the one going into the industry is going to be a number 7. Now, if I do what I want, I have to design something else. And again, this is something that slows me down a lot of times, because the thing I want to design is not an easy thing to design, because there's been people that have been trying to do it for years and haven't done it. So, which is the nice thing about Proto 48 is you can do self-guarded frogs.
Ah, well, that is nice.
Yes, you can do it. The problem is they're a pain in the butt to draw. And the one guy that did I talked to John Paltz about it, and he made a decision way back when. He does all the cast manganese frogs and Proto 48 and O-Scale, and it's right away products. What? Oh, the squeaking?
Yeah, this is great. Yes.
What we have to do is we have to remove all the references to the dog and just have Sim doing that. I feel wondering, what on earth is Jim Lincoln doing?
Yes. And he said that he's about 20 times. See, he does it the old-fashioned way. So he actually machines a master. So he has machined masters for all these O-scale frogs.
All right.
Wow.
And so he says, I have about 20 times tried to do a cast manganese self-guarded frog.
Frog, yeah.
And what happens is I get 95% of the way all the way through it, and I turn the bit the wrong way.
Oh.
And I cut the wrong thing at the very end. He says, I've done it about 20 times.
Ouch.
He says, I really got to do it again, but he says, I keep trying it, and I just keep messing them up at the very end. He's like, oh, God. And when I've tried to draw them, oh, they're obnoxious little things.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I may end up doing is just seeing if I can get a decent overhead picture of one and drawing it.
Just trace just over it?
Extruding it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trace over it.
All right.
But, yeah.
Well, so, I think I've got the title for the show. I think we're going to call it 95% of the way there, because
there you go.
We've all been saying that a lot
tonight. Yeah, I like that. I like that, actually. 95% of the way there.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jim, we're going to keep following you with this, because this is a really cool project. And, man, keep posting the stuff to Facebook, because this is really cool. It's going to be, and I think it's really, you know, we like to reach out to all the scales, so it's going to be nice for some of the people who are interested in dabbling into larger scales to you know, be encouraged that they don't need an aircraft hangar to model this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and then you know you make a decent sized module, and you know, like as Model Rail Radio is big on, you know, get to do something.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the problem with a basement filling, oh wow, I'm going to do this is. You probably won't, and unless you have help.
Right.
You know, if you're doing it by yourself, it's like, you may want something to do. You know, at least this is a vaguely reasonable size. One thing is, this proves a particular proof of concept that I wish I had done with the chocolate. Mm-hmm. I wish I had built the chocolate out of gator foam.
Okay.
Because then it wouldn't weigh a metric ton.
Right.
There you go.
But, you know, as I've said, if I'm ever working on it and I'm in the house and there's a drive-by shooting, it will stop the bullets.
Well, there you go.
Just what you need in the middle of Rentham where nothing ever happens.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just carry it around with me, you know. Go to inner city New York or inner city Boston, I'll just carry it around on my back for protection.
There you go. Won't be getting anywhere fast, but you'll be safe.
Yep. That's right. And maybe I can, you know, tempt the robbers with model trains.
There you go.
Come on, let's operate. What? Teach you something new, dude.
Pick up a different hobby.
That's right.
Something else to do with your time. Well, Jim, thanks so much for and Titus too. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll definitely be touching back with you.
Mm-hmm.
And keep posting those Facebook pics, Craig.
We'll be looking forward to it.
Craig, thanks for thanks for coming on too.
Oh, always a pleasure.
And of course,
always great fun to talk to Jim Lincoln.
So. Absolutely, Jim.
Well, thank you.
And, of course, what we opened the show with, we closed the show with. The Model Railcast theme. Until next time, guys.
You've been listening to The Model Railcast Show. You can find us at www.modelrailcastshow.com or on Facebook at Friends of MRCS. And look for us on iTunes. Don't miss your other great model railroading podcasts out there. The Scotty Mason Show, Model Rail Radio, A Modeler's Life, and the Model Railroad Hobbyist Podcast. And drop us a line if we miss mentioning you. This is Amy Perkins for the Model Railcast Show. Have a great week.
It's the largest one. And I did it again. So. And again.
What is going on?
But.
You need to relax.
Have some more coffee
or something. I don't know.
I don't have any coffee. It's
well, maybe that's
night.
The problem.
All right. I will just relax and let myself do ums and ahs. Just that I have listened to other people on other podcasts, and I realize that I'm doing it all the time. But it comes all the time. It's just so wrong.
Oh, there it is on the layout. Okay. Where? Yeah.
Good Lord, that man's being swallowed by the layout.
Yes.
Reminds me of my old donut of death.
Yeah.
Yeah.